taking their place in a long true line of everyday Americans,
helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel.
Pay the bills, stay out of jail, love the neighbors and have a few good friends. Every day you were everyday Americans.
You know, there's sometimes you hear a news event or something like that and it makes you laugh. Sometimes they make you cry and sometimes they just plain make you mad. And that's what I'm going to be talking about today. I do want to warn parents, if you have small children in the house, some of the things you may be talking about may be a little scary for them. So you may want to, you know, either put your headphones in or send them off to another room, because we're dealing with how small children are being treated. So hello, everyday Americans, and welcome to the Constitution Study. I'm Paul Engel, and today I have with me Diego Rodriguez, and we have what to me was a very disturbing and very angry or anger-inducing story for you. So, Diego, welcome to the Constitution Study. Glad you could be here with us.
Thanks for having us here, Paul.
So, just so my audience knows, can you give us a little bit of background of what happened to you and your family?
So, this happened on March 11th, just basically 3 weeks ago. And it to give you guys a the summary of it all, we can get into as much detail as you want, but the summary was that my grandson was taken by law enforcement officers in the name of child protection, literally kidnapped away from our family for no reason whatsoever, which we can get into those very specific details of what their justification is for taking children away, or for taking, in this case, baby Cyrus, who's my grandson, away. They claim that he was in imminent danger, which is the terminology that they use in order to justify kidnapping. This is just straight up kidnapping. That's all it is. It's ultimately child trafficking. The difference between kidnapping and child trafficking is one of them is done for profit and one of them is just done just to take the child. But they took baby Cyrus away, took him away with an incredible excessive use of force and abuse. And then we've been in the fight to get him back ever since.
So yeah, there's a lot there. Let's start at the beginning. And tell us how this all got started.
Okay. So we'll go all the way back to the beginning. Basically, Cyrus is 10 months old. And when he was about 7 months old, his mother, which is my daughter, Marissa, had been exclusively breastfeeding him. So he was an exclusively breastfed child. They're very natural minded and health conscious. You know, my daughter is one of five homeschooled children. Her husband, Levi, he's one of 11 homeschooled children. These are Christian, conservative, constitutionalist young people who grew up with that type of environment. They have, you know, absolutely no background in any type of the social stigmas that we have today with drugs and alcoholism and, you know, any of the things that society deems wrong today. These are as pure and as clean as a young couple you'll ever find anywhere in the country. I'm sure you've seen the pictures of them there. That's them. That's how they actually are in the real world. And so they're very health-minded and health-conscious. And she had exclusively nursed baby Cyrus all the way up until about 7 months when she began to introduce solid foods. When she first introduced solid foods, baby Cyrus didn't respond well. He threw up, and they assumed that maybe he didn't respond well to that or that he had some type of bug. And so she stopped, she hadn't stopped yet, but they just kind of waited it out, and he got better. And about a week later, he started vomiting again. So this was like, you know, a cycle. He did it more than once. And so after the second time, they started taking him to doctors to try to figure out what's wrong, because there obviously is some issue, maybe a gut issue, what have you. So he'd gone to several different specialists, several different doctors and medical professionals. And what was a thought at the time was maybe he had a food allergy, maybe she had a food allergy of some sort, or maybe that there was just something that he couldn't digest. So she completely changed her diet to not eating any dairy, not having any grains, basically dietary changes in order to try to affect change in terms of his vomiting. But it didn't change. It didn't stop. He continued to go on the cyclical vomiting. So while he was...
was he still on, were they still introducing solid food, or did they pull that back and they were dealing strictly with
Tried everything. So along the course, they tried everything. They tried not eating any solid food and just going off of breast milk. Then they tried, okay, let's go ahead and try solid food, but let's see what things are trigger foods. And there's so many things they had tried over the course of about 3 months. It's everything you can imagine. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, he kept growing, and Cyrus would get big and long, but he was losing weight. So basically, he was, you know, growing and getting chunkier, and then he'd start vomiting, and then he'd kind of taper off, and then he'd gain again. Because what happened is he'd start vomiting for about 4 days, then he'd be fine for about a week, and then he would start vomiting for about 4 days. So this is a cycle, something that went on, and he therefore wasn't, you know, a full size kid in terms of being chunky like he had been previously. This puts him in a category known as being failure to thrive is the medical term. And depending upon you know, who your audience is, I'm sure there's plenty of parents out there who've heard that term before if their child was in a similar situation. Anyhow, they were at a new clinic called Functional Medicine of Idaho, and the nurse practitioner there at Functional Medicine of Idaho, before moving on with baby Cyrus, she had determined that, well, you know what, it looks like baby Cyrus is more dehydrated than normal, and she wanted him to be rehydrated completely using an IV. Well, apparently, according to her, the only place in Idaho, we're here in Idaho, or in the Boise area specifically, according to her, that could actually put an IV in an infant was St. Luke's Hospital. Well, St. Luke's Hospital is a typical allopathic, you know, government subsidized, et cetera, the whole works hospital, the type of place that we avoid at all costs because the healthcare is detrimental. They kill people. They kill babies. They have no interest in actually helping anybody or doing anything good or right. It's all about getting government funds, racking up a bill, going in there for a sniffle and getting a bill for $5,000, that type of thing. You know, it's the typical modern American hospital that just destroys people. And my kids have never been to a place like that. We've never taken them to a place like that. And they wanted to avoid it at all costs, knowing how terrible things were. And this was, of course, that was their background and context before COVID. After COVID, all those beliefs were just completely validated and verified. It's like, it's the last place you'd ever want to go unless you're suicidal. So they were like, no, we don't want to go there at all, for all the obvious reasons. But this nurse practitioner said, no, you really need to go, because she was not willing to do anything to help them until he was fully rehydrated. And it was basically, they were going under the auspices of, we're going to go there, get baby Cyrus an IV, he'll be rehydrated in a few hours, we'll come back to this clinic, and the nurse practitioner can help us with baby Cyrus. And that was the idea. Mm-hmm. So they went there very reluctantly and very hesitantly, but they went there under the direction of their nurse practitioner from a functional medicine clinic, by the way. So, you know, this is obviously a bad choice of functional medicine clinics, because they appear to be just as interested in the system and allopathic healthcare, for lack of better terms. And when I mean lack of better terms, I mean healthcare, as any. So they went there. And of course, when they get there, it is as typical as it always is. All they want is to run test after test, run up a bill, keep you forever. They went there again with the idea they'd be there only for a few hours. And as soon as they get there, the doctor's like, no, we need you guys to stay overnight, and we need to run more tests, and we need to learn about this, and we need to learn about that. So he got rehydrated. You know, that happens relatively quickly with an IV. In the morning, and they consented to stay overnight. They had run now all these tests. They had done blood work. They had done sent for labs, blood exams, the whole works. And everything comes back totally fine. All of his blood tests come back fine. His labs come back totally fine. As far as they can tell, kid's perfectly healthy. So Marissa and Levi are like, well, all right, he's perfectly healthy. We don't know why he's vomiting still, and you guys don't know why he's vomiting, but as far as the labs are concerned, he's totally healthy. So can we get out of here? We want to go back to the functional health clinic. And this is, they went on a Tuesday. So this is the following day, which is Wednesday. And the Wednesday, when they're asking to leave now, the doctor's like, oh, absolutely not. You cannot leave here. And if you leave, it's going to be contrary to my medical advice, and I'll call CPS on you. And so this is Dr. Natasha Erickson from St. Luke's Hospital here in Boise, Idaho, who had this panic attack and was like, absolutely not. And for any of you who know the way these doctors work, they're much like, you know, many politicians, like many police officers, unfortunately, their entire life is about compliance. You comply with me or else. And that's how it was here. It was like, you're going to do what I tell you to do or else. And in this case, or else I'm calling CPS. So out of fear, when you threaten a parent, you say, you know, we're going to call CPS on you. Marissa and Levi, even contrary to their own, you know, beliefs and their own desires, they stayed under threat of CPS being called on them. And of course, another thing to add to the equation here is the fact that Levi is a small business owner. He's a young man with his own business. And so he's private pay. He does not have typical health insurance like these doctors are all after, because they know you walk in with health insurance. As soon as you walk in, all they're looking at is how many different things can we run on you to bill your insurance for? That's all they care about. Now, when you're private pay, it's the same idea, but the idea is, okay, how much stuff can we rack up the bill for? And so even if you stay at a hospital overnight, it's thousands of dollars, thousands. And so they're interested in getting in and out as soon as possible. This is just, hey, we were supposed to be here for an IV, and now you guys are trying to, you know, keep us here against our will, and we're probably going to have to, you know, mortgage our house just to pay off this stupid bill. So they wanted to leave. They didn't want to let them leave. And so the next day, they consented to stay again under threat. Sure enough, CPS comes to visit Marissa when Levi had gone to work the next day.
But before we get to CPS, because there's several things there, and we've got a break in a few minutes, but there's several things that I noted. You know, first of all, so my antenna went up when Levi and Marissa, you said?
Yes.
All right. When they asked to leave. See, because of the studying that I've been doing, in the constitutional study, they legally don't have to ask. They have they have the legal right to get up and walk away. And right. But you're right, it's not only the doctors. We've been drilled into our heads to do what you're told.
Yep.
I remember when my father-in-law was ill, and you know, my mother-in-law was of the age where the doctor is God and you do what the doctor says, even if you don't agree with it. And I remember sitting down and telling her, listen, if you think that what they're doing is wrong, give me a medical power of attorney. I'll go argue with them. So from a constitution, I'm like, okay, the first thing I see is they went to the position of, wait a second, ask. That's not me. I understand. You know, I'm not criticizing. It's the first red flag that went off in my head. Because the next thing you see is the doctor using coercion and extortion. And doing
it's exactly coercion and extortion. And the thing is how often does that go on every single day in America? Literally hundreds of thousands of times. It is the status. It's a modus operandi for all hospitals in America.
And he also committed a federal crime. And I'm curious.
It was a woman.
She committed a federal crime because she deprived your daughter and your son-in-law and your grandson of their liberty without due process of law under color of law. In other words, she was saying, I'm going to use the law to prevent you from leaving, even though there was no medical evidence that the child was in any harm or in any danger. And the reason I ask that is you may want to make a note for your lawyer to look up Title 18, United States Code, Section 242. I can send it to you afterwards. You don't have to, you know,
yeah, send it to me.
Because that is what the doctor did under color of law to deny a right protected by the Constitution under color of law. That is a federal crime punishable by a fine and up to 1 year in jail. I put this stuff in my head because in situations where there's a challenge, my first response, you know, the response I would have loved to see to the doctor, maybe the one I would have brought to the doctor was, you call CPS, I call the FBI and the U.S. Attorney's Office and have you charged with a federal crime. You know, that's, you know, but you're right. We've all been trained to, no, you submit, you do what you're told. I know, I want to get later on into what the current state is and what you're doing, but I'm kind of curious what, you know, we need to look at these not simply from a civil action, but a criminal action. Because from Absolutely. What I've heard of your story, crimes have been committed. And
multiple crimes. And we're just getting started with how many crimes they've committed. Yeah. When I say they, It's an entire network. It's an entire ring of criminals, from hospital to CPS to law enforcement to multiple agencies that are all involved, and the entire court system. You'll find here in a minute that the court system is not constitutional because it is not part of the actual government. It's not even a government organization. It is a separate private corporation. These family courts, we've learned, are private corporations that operate also, like you mentioned, under color of law, and they're not even legal institutions that are part of the government at all. And when the judges are presiding over these cases, they're presiding essentially as private citizens being paid for by the same system that they're supposed to be judging.
Yeah. Oh, trust me, I have little respect for, well, I shouldn't say that. Our what we laughably call a judicial system is not based on justice. It's just a system.
It's just a system. You're right. So here's the thing that I've learned, and I know we're going to get ahead of ourselves here in part of the story, but we'll just get this out up front for your listeners and for your audience, because this is the part that basically nobody understands. I didn't understand it. I didn't get this. If I knew this up front, I would have been fighting this system every single day of my life the day I learned about it, and I did not know it. And I think almost all America is ignorant to this single fact, and it's the most important thing for us to get out, and I'd rather get it out sooner rather than later, and that is the fact that we have all been sold this bill of goods. In other words, a flat-out lie that Child Protective Services is just that. It's there to protect children. And that's the whole concept of Child Protective Services. And therefore, we all assume CPS only takes children. And it's called something different in all the 50 states, but most of them call it CPS. But we assume that the only time CPS takes a child away from its family is when that child is in grave danger, or the parents are terrible people, or they're drug addicts, or they're abusive, or they're being assaulted, or they're being molested. And we just think they only take children from horrible situations and put them in a good situation. That's the marketing. That's what we've been sold. And it is nothing could be further from the truth. Not only is that not the case, but CPS, which is funded by, on a federal level, the Department of Health and Human Services, and every single state has a different, you know, version of the Department of Health and Human Services. Here in Idaho, it's called the Idaho Department of Health and Welfare. These departments in each state, in our case, it's the Department of Health and Welfare, which is over CPS, they are financially incentivized to steal and to kidnap your children. Literally, here's how it works.
Well, before you go there, we got to head off to a break. I'm already late for a break. Before I go, though, I want to remind my listeners that they will be able to find this a podcast of this program on the website, AmericaOutloud.com, generally a couple of days after you hear it on the radio. Please be sure to check that out and to share this article, to share the program so that others can find out and others can be forewarned so that they can be forearmed. As you heard Diego say, if he knew beforehand, he would have acted differently. This is our great opportunity to be forewarned so that we can be forearmed. And we'll pick up this story right after the break.
If you're like me, you'd like life to return to some kind of normal. You're burned out on the precautions, but deep down, you still want to avoid getting sick. You've heard it talked about time and again by respected medical professionals. Use a povidone iodine antiviral nasal spray. Made in the USA, Cofix RX reduces viral loads and minimizes the risk of you getting sick. Find a retailer near you or click our banner ad on AmericaOutloud.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
People often ask me, Malcolm, how do we fight the corruption? Robert Frost has said it best, freedom lies in being bold. Well, for six incredible years, bold is America Out Loud. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
In today's world, there's no escaping the headlines filled with warnings about emerging viruses and dangerous superbugs. Genesis is the only technology that safely and effectively obliterates harmful pathogens both in the air and on surfaces. Genesis plus HOCL neutralize these threats to your environment in just seconds. Find out more about this amazing technology at genesisfogger.com/outloud for a 15% discount. With Genesis, you'll be prepared for what's next.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. If you join the Constitution Study, I have Diego Rodriguez on the line with me, and we are listening to I can only call it the horror story that his family has been with, been through. And only in the last 3 weeks. It's not been that long. Diego, when we left off, the doctor threatened your daughter and son-in-law that if they took a baby who was, according to all the tests, perfectly healthy, if they took him out of the hospital, they would stick CPS on them. Can you pick the story up from there?
Sure. Well, right before that, I think right before we went to break, I was finishing explaining the way they're paid, and then I'll get right into the story. Okay. And so, because this is the part that everybody needs to know, this is what I was saying I would do differently if I had known differently about it, and that is the states are getting paid by the federal government in order to steal your children. And this is going to go right into the story with the what happened at the hospital, because the hospital also gets paid. And here's the whole point. Everybody is financially incentivized to take your child. So if any reason imaginable, it could be something as simple as they have a bruise, they have a fever, they have a runny nose, they come into your house because you let them in because they come and knocking on your door and somebody made a referral and you're these are not things I'm making up. These are actual case studies, actual stories where, okay, there were dishes that were not done. The laundry wasn't folded. You know, there was a dog poop on the floor that you hadn't cleaned up just fast enough. There were crayon markings on the wall. Any of these things that are basically normal issues every family has, it's enough to take your child, and they take them. And as soon as they take your child, the state gets paid by the federal government to take your child. Once they take him from your possession and then put him into foster care, that's a second payment that they receive. And then they get payments every single month from the federal government. And they have incentives and bonuses in this process all the way up to adoption. What that means is this is child trafficking. Kidnapping is kidnapping. But when you take a child and you kidnap them and then send it off somewhere else for money, that's trafficking. And this is child trafficking. And we are doing it at the state and federal level. It's the federal government paying the states. So CPS gets paid to do this. They take the child to the hospital. The hospital gets paid to do it. Then they move into foster care. The foster care systems, everybody's getting paid, and they're getting paid with your and my tax dollars. That's what people need to know.
And in direct violation of the Constitution of the United States, because protecting children is not a power delegated to the United States. So this is fraudulent. This is embezzlement, right? Because they're taking your money for illicit purpose. It's bribery, because they're bribing the states, they're bribing the hospitals to do this.
Well, yeah, this is definitely true. They're definitely mostly who's involved there, of course, is law enforcement. Hospitals get paid. Law enforcement are the one who are doing it. And you know, for those who believe the Bible, there's only a handful of things in the Bible that are worthy of capital punishment, but kidnapping is one of them. Kidnapping is judged by God to be worthy of capital punishment, just so you know what God's opinion on the matter is. So here we have this doctor, Natasha Erickson, who's saying, just like you're talking here about depriving them of their life or liberty and their freedom without due process, she's like, I'm going to call CPS on you. So this is a threat. So CPS comes the next day. Remember, they go on a Tuesday, supposed to go just for a few hours in order to get Cyrus rehydrated. The next day, the tests come back that he's healthy. They still can't figure out why he's vomiting, but the tests that they ran show that there's nothing wrong with him. And so they asked to leave then, said, no, you can't leave. Otherwise, we'll call CPS. The following day is Thursday. Sure enough, she calls CPS, even after they complied. They complied with the threat anyhow, and CPS shows up the next day while Levi had gone back to work, and Marissa is there at the hospital alone with baby Cyrus. The CPS, you know, agent comes in and is asking all these questions. You know, why are you here? Why are you private pay? How come you can't? Why don't you have insurance? What's your family life like? How does your husband treat you? Do you have food to eat? All these intrusive questions, and they're always fishing for anything they can to pounce on, because they'll use anything. And if they can't find anything, by the way, they just make something up, so it doesn't matter. But they're going to look for something in their fishing expedition. So they stay there that Thursday. They run even more tests on baby Cyrus because they're just racking up a bill as high as they can. That's the only thing they care about. They do not care about the health of the child. The greatest myth of all time, after that the moon is made out of green cheese, is that CPS cares about the health of a child. That's never been true, and it never will be true. It is just flat not true. And anybody who believes that is part of the problem. You need to wake up and open your eyes and see what's really going on. And I admit that I am part of the problem, because I used to believe that until it happened to me. And I just pray and hope to God that you guys open up your eyes before it happens to you, because they'll come after any one of you, any one of you. And I'll prove it to you here before the end of this interview. But At that point, we're now at Friday. This was March 1st. We come all the way up to March 4th. On March 4th, which is a Friday, the doctor couldn't find any other reason to keep them around or any other reason to run any more tests because Cyrus's tests came back all great. In fact, they came back so good that they said he's, you know, testing wise, he's one of the healthiest kids we've ever seen. Mind you, this doesn't mean he's healthy because he's still vomiting. It just means that according to their medical test, they couldn't figure out what was wrong with him. And there was no medical reason that they could use as an excuse to maintain him anymore in their custody. So they discharged him there with a clean bill of health on March 4th. However, she did set him up for a follow-up weight check appointment the following Monday. Remember, this is Friday. So over the weekend, he's going to be discharged with the parents. And then on Monday, you're supposed to come back for a weight check appointment with the same clinic that they had been at previously called Functional Medicine of Idaho. So they leave the hospital. They come back that Monday to a weight check appointment because they're fine with that. Look, they just want baby Cyrus healthy. He's vomiting. They want him to stop vomiting. It's like every parent here. I mean, I don't know how many kids you have. I have five. I can tell you all my kids have vomited at some point in time. And if your kid's continually vomiting, you want to figure it out. That's all they want to do. These are good, godly parents looking to take care. If there's anybody who cares about the health of a child, it's the parents. It's not some faceless state system that pretends to care. When they don't, they're only in it for the money and for the power. That's what they want, power, control, and money. And so they go to that weight check, and they go to the weight check. Everything seems to be fine. From Monday, the following Monday, they then were scheduled for another weight check on Thursday. And this Thursday is when everything went from bad to worse, because from Monday to Thursday, baby Cyrus started vomiting the Wednesday before that Thursday appointment. And every time he vomits, he loses weight. You know, you and I, if we vomited, we'd lose weight. But for a baby, obviously, it's even worse. And so when he went for that second weight check appointment, he was underweight at that point because he had just vomited and he had lost 35 grams, which is 1.23 ounces. Obviously, it's not a lot and it seems like nothing, and it really is nothing. But it was enough for the nurse to say, well, I want you to come back tomorrow for another weight check-in, because remember that he had done a weight check-in on Monday. Now it's Thursday, and he had lost weight between the two appointments. So come back again tomorrow. This would be Friday, March 11th. Please come back for another appointment. And so they said, okay, that's fine. So they set it up for 10 a.m. the following morning. And you have to understand, and even though this context doesn't really matter, I'll just give you the detail anyhow. And the detail is that he didn't act like it was anything serious. He's like, oh, you know, he lost some weight. Why don't you come in tomorrow and let's just see how he's doing tomorrow. Very casual. He basically said, this is nurse practitioner Aaron Dykstra is his name. And he says, you know what, come in tomorrow, you know, anytime between 10 or 11. I don't even have to be here. It's just a weight check. My assistant could do it. It's no big deal. So it was all played out like it's not a big deal. Just come in for a simple weight check. So, again, like I said, that detail doesn't matter, but I guess, you know, the context is somewhat relevant to the story. And so the next morning, my daughter wakes up feeling a little under the weather. One of the reasons for that is she's not sleeping. You know, her son is vomiting continuously. So try to sleep with a kid who's vomiting every 10 to 15 to 30 minutes, right?
Yeah.
You can't do it. So she's not getting any sleep. So she wakes up, she's feeling a little under the weather with a sore throat. And she's like, you know, I don't feel too good. And with all this nonsensical COVID protocol we've had for the last 2 years, everybody knows if you have any symptoms of, you know, if you have a runny nose or a cough or a sore throat, you know, shelter in place, stay at home, don't go anywhere. Mm-hmm. All the medical facilities and everything saying don't come to a clinic if you have any symptoms whatsoever. So they're even trying to comply with all that nonsense. So she wakes up, I don't feel that good, you know, I got a sore throat, so it's just a weight check, you know, no big deal. We'll cancel the appointment and maybe follow up next week, you know, Monday or whenever. So she calls the clinic and nobody answers. So she leaves a message, says, this is Marissa, I had an appointment at 10. I'm just going to go ahead and cancel that appointment, just want to let you know. And the appointment was scheduled for 10 a.m. She hung up the phone, went back to sleep. When she was asleep, they called her back and left a message. Okay, called her back a second time just a few minutes later, didn't leave a message, but they did try calling back two times, and we can see that on the record of her phone. And at exactly 10:20 a.m., precisely 10:20 a.m., this absolutely ridiculous nurse calls CPS 20 minutes after the missed weigh-in appointment and gets the whole process started. CPS is called, he makes the referral, and as you know, and anybody who knows anything about CPS, once that phone call is made, your life is about to be changed forever. Anybody can destroy somebody else's life by making one phone call to CPS. In fact, it's been proven, you know, historically and statistically that people who just don't like their neighbors and are looking for revenge on their neighbors call CPS and they can ruin their life just by one phone call. That's the power CPS has in America. And so sure enough, when Marissa wakes up, she has a text message from a social worker from CPS demanding that she call her. And then an hour after that, law enforcement, two detectives show up at my house looking for Levi and Cyrus. And they came to my house because my address was the address that Levi's always used for his mailing address, because before he actually lived here in Boise, where we live, he had been sending his mail here, and then he got a place where he was living temporarily while he was courting my daughter before he had his own place. So he was always using my address for his address. So that's fine. No big deal. But it was the address that they had on the intake forms. And so the cops come looking for them at my house. So they come here to my house. I said, Levi and Cyrus are not here. They leave. And I call Levi. Levi, what in the world's going on? I just got visited by two cops looking for you and Cyrus. And I knew that Marissa had got a text message from the social worker earlier. So I suggested to him, I said, dude, something funky's going on. You probably should call that social worker and see what in the world is going on. So he calls a social worker and he has a conversation with her briefly on the phone, asking her what is going on. Why are you involved? Why are cops coming to my father-in-law's home? What in the world is going on? And she wouldn't answer his question. She wouldn't give him any answers. She just said, oh, we have a medical emergency and we need to see baby Cyrus immediately. He's like, what are you talking about? We were just at the hospital last week. Baby Cyrus got a clean bill of health. Everything's fine there. We were with a nurse practitioner twice this week. We're supposed to even go in again today, but we didn't because my wife wasn't feeling good. She wouldn't answer any questions. None of that mattered to her. Doesn't matter. You have to come here to this. I'm going to send you a location to go to. You need to go to this location. Her name was Nisei Lafua, was the social worker there. And you can see all these people's information on the website, freedomman.org/Cyrus. So it's freedomman.org/Cyrus is the entire website dedicated to this story. And you can see all the people who are involved in his kidnapping, all their name and information there. You can see the pictures of them. So she says, I'm going to send you this address. You need to go there. I can have you escorted by two police, the whole works. And he's like, what in the world are you talking about? So she texts this address to him. When he gets the address, he looks it up. And Paul, it's a place called the Faces of Hope Victim Abuse Center. And so this is that place where they take your children. Once they take your child, and if you've ever had a referral to CPS, even if there's no allegations of a sexual misconduct or anything, they have to go and they will interview and even review your child's private parts. You know, most of us have all taught our children not to let anybody touch their privates, look at their privates. Private is private for a reason. It's private. And here they are with some stranger looking at their private parts. And this is the place where they do this garbage. And so, you know, they see what this place is and they're obviously like, wow, that's completely insane. This is crazy. We're not going there. So that, you know, this is now the afternoon, 4 or 5 o'clock. Marissa still doesn't feel good.
Before you go on, because you do have a break coming up, and I got a couple things I wanted to discuss as we get into that. Again, from a constitutional standpoint, it's interesting because you've got CPS coming in, making demands. And again, maybe it's because of the study and training I've been doing. My first response is, excuse me, man, where's your warrant? You don't have the government doesn't have the legal authority. No government entity, no government actor has the authority to search or seize without a warrant or an exigent circumstance, an emergency, a life and death must happen now emergency. I've told my family when any government official shows up at the door, wants to talk to you, the first thing you do is ask for a warrant. Then you look at the warrant. So, you've got that. It's also the attitude, you know, like I said, no, you must show up. What medical emergency? He's an ounce and a half less than when he got a clean bill of health. All right. He lost an ounce and a half. As we are dealing,
35 grams exactly, right, is what's on the police report.
As we are dealing with a non-life-threatening medical situation that we've been dealing with for weeks, this is a complete overreaction for that. But the you've got this the assumption by the state that the child is not yours, it's the state's. And the state lets you have it as long as you take care of it the way they think.
And that's the key. There, you nailed it right
but
there.
But it also is why it is critical. And it's one of the reasons I tell my audience is that you really want a relation. You want to know your sheriff because your sheriff's the chief law enforcement officer in the county. And the role of the sheriff of any law enforcement is supposed to be to protect your rights. I met with my sheriff and I made sure they said, listen, I want to make sure all your deputies are trained. They show up. They get a phone call. If I'm involved, they're there to protect everyone's rights, first and foremost, because it is very easy for different government agencies and actors to get high and mighty on themselves and abuse their positions. And we need law enforcement there to protect our rights, not to simply become thugs for some bureaucrat. And
I agree with you wholeheartedly, 100%. And I've always been someone who supports law enforcement. In fact, on our website, I've declared plainly, and I've declared in multiple, you know, protests and rallies before crowds of hundreds and even some cases thousands, that I believe the institution of law enforcement is ordained by God. So I even come to this from a faith-based perspective. I 100% believe law enforcement is ordained by God. And so I support the institution. However, any God-ordained institution can go beyond its God-ordained jurisdictions and become tyrannical, including fathers. I support the institution of fatherhood, but some fathers are abusive and they need to be denounced and dealt with. I support the institution of the church, which is ordained by God. Some churches and church leaders become abusive and tyrannical and need to be denounced and dealt with. And law enforcement in this country has become completely abusive and tyrannical. And so it needs to be denounced. And specifically, the individuals need to be denounced. So not every police officer does something wrong, but when somebody does, he better be denounced and the people better be ready to denounce him and for him to face the consequences.
So,
you know, kidnapping.
I have to head off to another break.
Okay.
We'll pick this story up after the break. But again, I want to remind my listeners, freedomman.org/Cyrus. You can get the story of baby Cyrus. You can find out more about the stuff I do on constitutionstudy.com. You can also go to americaoutloud.com. It's a great place to keep up with the news and the events and the happenings and to find resources that you can share so that others can have an idea of what is going on in this country of ours.
This is Dr. Peter McCullough. Do you know there's no other condition that I'm aware of where vitamins and supplements make such a big difference than COVID-19? We have an abundance of data that we need to be replete with a variety of micronutrients, and that includes vitamins, minerals, and other substances our bodies need. I rely on Healthy Cell Super Boost. That's Immune Super Boost. It's a gel pack that can be taken every day. I like to do it before I exercise and before I go out. It's a wonderful supplement. It gives me the immune super boost that I need. Go to healthycell.com, use the promotional code OUTLOUD, and get a discount on your first order. Let's get real. Let's get loud on America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Each of us is born with 30 trillion cells that make us. These cells determine how we feel, perform, sleep, focus, and how long we live. And to live our best life, all we have to do is feed our cells. But most food and supplements don't reach our cells, keeping us from reaching our full potential. Make every cell count with Healthy Cell. Founded with a mission to empower people to take control of their own health at the most fundamental level, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, world-renowned cell researcher and medical doctor, created supplements that work at the cellular level to boost immune health, sleep better, focus deeper, and stay younger longer. Go to healthycell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of any product. And that's healthycell.com, HEALTHYCELL. And use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You've rejoined the Constitution Study. We're having a very important discussion with Diego Rodriguez and finding out what's been happening to baby Cyrus and hopefully forewarning ourselves to be prepared should something, anything like this happen to you, friends, family, neighbors. We want to be informed so we're prepared. So, Diego, can we pick it up from CPS wanted the chance to get all perverted with your poor baby grandson?
And from there, basically, we went to a dinner at a friend's house. Marissa decided she was, even though she didn't feel totally better yet, she wanted to go to our friend's house, who was a former law enforcement officer himself. And she's like, you know, I'd like to talk to Ed. His name was Ed, to get his take on everything that happened today, because this is the most bizarre thing. It's crazy. She obviously was nervous at getting a text from CPS and having law enforcement come to her father's house looking for her baby. So she obviously was feeling nervous and scared. So we all went there together as a family, had a good night together, and left. And when they left, turned out that Levi had a bolo, be on the lookout, out for him in the entire county. And so there were police officers everywhere looking for him in his truck. And so sure enough, once they left, there was a police officer who saw him. A couple of cops came behind him. He pulled into a gas station, got surrounded by all these cops. You know, it's a joke here in Idaho because they're so bored. These cops have nothing to do and they're heavy-handed here, like beyond thuggery, that if you know, if you do a rolling, if a 70-year-old man does a rolling stop in Idaho, five cops come to pull him over, and that's the running joke here. And it's a running joke because it's true. And that night, you can watch the video, there's 15 to 20 cops. We haven't counted them completely, but it's all of that to kidnap one baby. Let me just think about it. That's how it works. And so sure enough, you can watch the video at this point. But at that point, you know, my daughter, she started filming it. She actually started live streaming it. My other daughter was filming it at the time. So many things happened there that were completely contrary to, you know, constitutional law, Idaho state constitution and Idaho state statute. There was law after law after law broken. And I won't get into details, but they arrest my daughter, the one who was not the mother of the child. They arrest her just for being there. False arrest. First, they arrested her for felony injury to a child. She said, it's not my child. So then they said, well, now we're arresting you for falsifying information to an officer. Threw her in the back of a squad car. Then they get my daughter, who she is the mother, the daughter Marissa. And you guys can watch all this video yourself. They lie to her, coax her, tell her that, you know, if you come into the ambulance, everything's going to be fine. You get to go in the ambulance with the baby to the hospital. We just want to check on him, blah, blah, blah. After they'd already cuffed her husband, slammed him against the truck, assaulted him, threw him in the back of a squad car for no reason whatsoever, because he asked to speak to his lawyer. He said, let me speak to my lawyer. And they said, we're not going to play these games with you. Rip him out of the car, out of the truck, slam him up against the truck, cuff him, throw him in the back of a squad car.
I hope you got badge numbers. I hope they got badge numbers.
We have everything. So we have all their badge numbers. We have all their, we actually have their body camera footage now as well.
Oh, excellent.
And so we've got all that stuff and it's incredibly damning. You have just no idea how damning it is against them. Nevertheless, in fact, on many occasions when they knew that they were incriminating themselves in the body camera footage, Paul, guess what they do when they're about to incriminate themselves? They turn off the mic and cover it with their hand. Mm-hmm. 'Cause they know what they're doing.
Yeah.
They know what they're doing. It is so incriminating. And it just, you know, how can you support and respect that? So they lie to Marissa, get her in the ambulance. Once they get in the ambulance, the whole story changes and they say, nope, you have to leave. We're taking the baby without you. You're either give us the baby or you're going to be under arrest. At one point in time, this absolute, you know, disgusting, filthy animal tells my daughter, he tells her, just give your baby to the EMT and you can be on your merry way. He literally tells her that. I don't know if you've seen the video, but you need to watch it. And after they rip baby Cyrus out of her hands, they then handcuff her, arrest her, take her outside. And after they'd already patted her down when she left the truck, so they already have to pat you down because they're so afraid of a 5 foot one, you know, 105 pound little petite girl that she's going to, you know, kill them or something. They've already patted her down looking for weapons on her. So now she's in the ambulance. They rip the baby away, take her out. Now she's in handcuffs and vulnerable. My daughter's a very beautiful young lady. So now this perverted cop who arrested her and put her in handcuffs, after she's already been patted down, he pats her all over her whole body. A male cop, not a female cop, literally groping and molesting her, puts his hands up her shirt, hands down her pants and around her waist. And all this is on film. I know people are like, that would never happen. It's on film. Watch it for yourself. It's all there. You can see it for yourself. Just go to that website, freedomman.org/Cyrus, and see it for yourself and be prepared to be absolutely disgusted. So they steal baby Cyrus. They take him. We send out a message all over the place. And over 400 patriots showed up the next day to protest at the hospital. So we had protests going on for a week every day. We said, we are not leaving. We're not going to stop protesting until you give baby Cyrus back. We had thousands of people from across the country making phone calls, thousands sending in emails. Literally people, you know, we know for a fact now that they were waking up to thousands of emails in the inbox every day. We'd shut down the phone lines essentially every single day, first at the hospital and then at the Idaho Department of Health and Welfare. People had gone protesting in front of the homes of the kidnappers who were these child trafficking police officers, two detectives, Detective Jeff Hansen and Steve Fuller, or Steve Hansen and Jeff Fuller, I got it backwards. They're in front of their houses, protesting in front of their houses, passing out flyers to their neighbors, letting their neighbors know that you have child traffickers living right here on your street. Be careful. Keep your children away. And they've never had that type of accountability before. You see, we always talk about we need to keep these people accountable, but they're never held accountable, ever. Never at all. They get away literally with murder in this country and nothing happens. But what we've learned here, Paul, is that while the law enforcement officers, judges, doctors, none of them care about the law. They don't care about the Constitution. You've already quoted several times as being violated. They don't care about state constitutions. They don't care about state statutes and laws. They care about none of that. They break it all the time. Joe Biden doesn't care. The FBI doesn't care. We saw this in the Trump years. None of these agencies that are government agencies care about the law. They break it repeatedly over and over again. And we say, well, they need to be held accountable. But are they? Never. They're not held accountable. They're not held accountable, and they don't care about any of those things. The only thing they care about is, I should say the only thing they fear, because Thomas Jefferson said it best. He says, when the people fear the government, there is tyranny. When the government fear the people, there is liberty. So the question to ask yourself today is, who fears who? You think the government fears you? Not a chance. But who do you fear? You fear CPS, you fear the IRS, you fear the FBI, you fear law enforcement. But you shouldn't fear any of these people.
But there's also strength in numbers, which is what you showed, is that when numbers show up, you can scare them. So first of all, what is the current situation with baby Cyrus?
So the current situation is that after these numbers that you just described, and you're 100%, and so the 100% right about that, what we found is what they do care about, not the law, but what they do care about is public shaming and public pressure. If their actions are known to the public, to their neighbors, to their mother, to their wife, to their spouse, to their children, that's embarrassing. Mm-hmm. They can't have that. So when people show up in front of their house peacefully, letting the whole world know that, hey, your neighbor here, your husband, your dad, he's a criminal. He snatches babies in the middle of the night for profit and then gives them away to hospitals for profit, who then give them to foster care for profit. That's what's actually going on. They don't want that to be known. After 7 days of that, Paul, by the grace of God, they didn't want this baby anymore. We were shutting the system down, and they gave him back to Marissa and Levi, still being the legal property of the state of Idaho, but now in the care of his parents. So they still have to give up their Fourth Amendment rights and be subject to all types of unnecessary intrusion.
No. They don't have to give up. They're asked to give up their Fourth Amendment rights. They don't have to.
Well, now, they do if they want to get the baby back.
What they need is law. What they need is the sheriff, law enforcement, to help them defend their rights.
That would be awesome if the sheriff wasn't 100% part of the entire system and backing them up and publishing articles stating in his own Facebook post that he 100% supported everything that happened that night. So I made a blog post. You can go onto our website and see my open letter to him, challenging him to respond to all the laws that were broken and how he's supposed to respond to it. And he's just hiding and running in shame now. Here's the point. When everything is controlled by one party, like in Idaho, it's all controlled by, in this case, the Republican Party, but they're what we call rhinos. These guys all are in bed together. They're all in the system together. They all protect one another. So what you're saying is right. I agree with you wholeheartedly. I would reach out to the sheriffs, and I tried to have a relationship with the sheriff, the previous sheriff that we had here. Everybody's corrupt. They're all corrupt. This guy, he literally disappeared off the face of the earth because he was offering sexual favors to women in order to get advancements within the sheriff's department. I can go on and on and on. It just gets deeper and deeper and deeper and ridiculous, but that's the reality of our sheriff's department.
So Cyrus is at home, but the state of Idaho still believes he is their property.
Right. They control him. They own him.
What's next?
So now the next thing is there's going to be an adjudicatory hearing. The adjudicatory hearing is the follow-up hearing after the first one, which is called the shelter care hearing. And this is where all the evidence is presented, even though it already was at the previous hearing. And this is where the next judgment is made. And at this point, there's going to be one of three things. Either one, they could dismiss the case and say, wow, we screwed up. All the evidence shows that there was no imminent danger, that all this is a hoax and it's all a farce. That's option one. Option two, they could say, well, we still need to keep baby Cyrus under our purview, but we'll let you guys, you know, have him with you in the meantime. But, you know, he's still under our control. And the reason they want that, Paul, is because they still get paid. Mm-hmm. They are now getting paid, even though baby Cyrus is with his parents. The state of Idaho and the Idaho Department of Health and Welfare and CPS are getting paid as long as he is under the declaration of being legally their custody. So that's why they want that. Number three, the third option is they can physically take baby Cyrus back. And so we have a legal battle to fight. We're very fortunate that people were donating to the cause. And so we were able to take care of, you know, a lot of Cyrus's medical expenses and legal expenses. And there's so many expenses. People have no idea what happens to your life and how it's destroyed after something like this happens. But, you know, Rick Green started GiveSend Go for us. And these things, these battles cost hundreds of thousands of dollars. I heard this in the past. People saying, oh, I spent $200,000, $300,000, up to $500,000 fighting for my children, losing my life savings, losing my job, losing everything. And after 4 years, I still haven't seen my kids. And I remember thinking, how could that be? How could you spend that much money? Well, now I get it. It's unbelievable, the destruction, the financial destruction, the pain, the pressure, the suffering that families go through when this happens. But we're going to be fighting this all the way. We have a team of lawyers who are fighting not only this, the case, the family court case, but then there's civil cases, and then there's criminal cases, and then there's Idaho state cases, and then there's federal cases. So there's federal laws that were broken. The federal court system can, you know, there could be federal injunctions to stop the lower court, but there's also federal crimes. There's local crimes. There's state crimes. It's a whole laundry list of things that have, we have to go through. But the first thing is just getting baby Cyrus back. That adjudicatory hearing was supposed to be this Friday, April the 8th, so 3-4 days from now, but they postponed it. So they postponed it. We don't have the date yet, what's going to happen on this Friday, April 8th, and we're asking everybody for your prayers and support. This Friday, April 8th, they're going to have a pre-trial hearing of some sort where the prosecution and our team of lawyers for baby Cyrus will have some communication to talk about the next proceedings and the next steps, and they'll set a date for the adjudicatory hearing at that time.
Well, and I understand the primary focus is you want baby Cyrus to be safe, right? Any dad, any grandpa, that's the first and foremost. But the reason I ask is I'm glad there are criminal cases, because too often I hear people worry about civil suits and they ignore the criminal aspect of it. But by getting it out of Boise, possibly getting it out of Idaho, to find a judge that will say, wait a second, what is going on is absolutely crazy, and give you injunctive relief from the tyranny of the city of Boise and the family court. That's
so you're 100% right that if we don't, because so Boise, Idaho, as many people know, is growing like crazy. However, it's still a very small community and everybody knows everybody. So everybody's in bed with each other. So we're not going to get justice here when the judge is the neighbor and the best friend and the wife and the cousin of, you know, the law enforcement officer and the prosecutor. They all are connected. So when you're talking about having to get another judge who's not here local in order to get justice, 100% true and 100% accurate. There's no justice in these small towns. It's virtually impossible. Everybody's in bed with one another. Everybody's protecting one another. And in this very specific case, everybody is being financed by the very system we're fighting against.
Yeah, I mean, you walk into any courtroom and except for you and your counselor, everybody there is paid by the same organization. Well, unless you're suing somebody, but all the cards are stacked against you, which is why it takes so much money. It's why it's important that as Americans, we are there to, you know, the Constitution guarantees you the assistance of counsel. It also helps if you can assist the counsel with facts and details and stuff to help make the case. Because you're right, you need to. You want to show that you, what you really want is you want the state to stop messing with your grandson, And if that takes a state court or a federal court to come in and say, wait a second, you are blatantly violating these reliefs. They have an obvious case against you. Stop now. And, you know, return the child, if at least return the child's custody to the parents until you have real probable cause, until you have, you know, until you can come up with probable cause supported by oath or affirmation and specifically detailing what way did that threaten the life of this child. It's another reason why it's so important that as we enter an election time again, that for all the elected officers, like the, I don't know if I'm assuming they elect the judges in Idaho, the sheriff is elected. People should be looking at what these people are doing and saying, is that the criminal enterprise you want to protect your rights if something, anything like this should happen to you?
Go ahead.
I was going to say, we got a few more minutes. I want to give you the last word, and wherever people can get in touch with you and support you, please let them know. I got about a minute or two left.
So I would say, please go to freedomman.org/Cyrus. There's a button there that says how you can help. And you know, the best thing to do is to sign up to our alerts. It's a simple email alert system that we can keep you posted for this particular case. Baby Cyrus's case is everybody's case. In the history of America, every time there's great injustice, be it, you know, slavery or racial segregation or abortion, there always is one test case that comes up to the national spotlight that is used to overturn these great injustices. And we really believe that God is using Baby Cyrus for that particular reason. And we're asking you guys to help to support in that cause. And if you guys can recognize this as a reality, then please join with us, because this, you know, Baby Cyrus's fight is your fight. If we do not stop this now, I give you my word, they're coming after your kids and you're next. No matter how clean and how safe and how perfectly you think you comply with this system, they're going to come take your kids.
Diego, thank you for your time. I'm sure my audience will join me in saying we're praying for you and your family. I want to remind my audience again, if you want to support the Constitution Study, go to HealthyCell.com. You can try any of their products. You get 20% off your first order if you just use the code OUTLOUD at checkout. Diego, thank you for your time. And for everyone, thank you for being here and helping us spread the blessings of liberty by being informed and being aware and then doing something about it.
Pay the bills, stay out of jail, love the neighbors and have a few good friends. Every day.